Support comes from USC Online, providing exceptional online graduate programs, certificates, and upskilling for current and aspiring professionals. Explore your graduate options today with the University of Southern California at online.usc.edu.
Moving on with Greater LA from KCRW, I'm Steve Chitakis. Dress however you want, but know that love is definitely in the air and inside a building near the corner of Melrose and Vermont. Couple of tickets to the Love Museum will run you $68. I mean, you have to take someone with you too, right? And that scratch that you spend may just help you understand your relationship with that special someone a little better. Doesn't even matter if they're a significant other, a family member, even just a friend. Amy Sweetman is the founder of the Love Museum. She's also a professor in the psychology department over at LA City College, which is right there. Hi, Amy. Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, hi. How are you? Wow. You do such a great job on introducing it. So wonderful.
Well, I hope you love it. You see what I did there? Anyway, I have to ask, why did you start and why does LA need a love museum?
Well, I love museums, yes. And we had a museum of death over there in Hollywood, and we had a museum of broken relationships in Hollywood. And I went to both of them, and they're both super cool museums. And I was like, but why don't we have a museum of love if we have these two museums? And so I was kind of driving by this empty building on my way to work one day, and I just thought to myself, you've always wanted to open a museum. I like to create things. We got some good feedback in the beginning, but then we had the pandemic. So we had to, you know, tread water during the pandemic. But I'm glad that I kept it open because, you know, LA seems to embrace it.
Is this a love museum or is this like a love museum? You know, like physical sexual stuff, rated R stuff.
So it's G-rated, and you just play games together. Now, there are probably about 3 or 4 sexual games, but they're, like, clean. They're, like, one is sex trivia, where you're playing Connect Four while you're playing sex trivia, and you're kind of, like, learning things, like, maybe you don't know. And then we have one that's called Draw Your Orgasm, and it's just funny, you know, it's like, I tried to open up ways for people to talk about things, but not be, like, intrusive at all, just kind of fun, like, playful, and if the conversation tends to take a turn from there, then it took a turn. If it doesn't, then we just had fun together.
So you probably wouldn't take the little ones to draw your orgasm, right?
Oh, yeah. So yeah. We don't allow children, actually. It's because I feel like couples, you know, even with children, we love our children so much. I love children. But the couples need time for them. And by them taking time for themselves, it's going to strengthen their marriage, which is going to help the kids. So it's okay to get a babysitter for a night or two.
So maybe not rated G, maybe more rated PG or PG-13?
Yeah, I would say PG-13 because it's just, you know, kind of educational fun. There's one game that's kind of funny. You have to kind of do kind of metaphors. So it says sex is like Chinese food, and then you have to try to figure out why it's like Chinese food. So we took like all these actors who had made these quotes about sex and like sex is like money, and then they would finish the sentence with why they're saying it's by money, but you're doing it, and then after you're finished you can turn it over and you see what the celebrities kind of said. I don't know if that makes sense, if I'm explaining it. So I don't know, could I put you on the spot? How would you say sex is like money?
I have very little of it. No. Wow.
It's hard.
No, it really is.
Or not hard.
Oh, the places we can go, Amy, with this. My God.
Yes, right?
But I mean, it also sounds to me like there's some science involved in this. Like you're trying to learn about your partner, right? You're trying to figure things out and communicate and all of that, bring that other person closer to you, but also maybe learn about, you know, why people are the way they are or how they think and things like that. Maybe do a little research.
Oh, yeah. We have a little bit of science in there. I'm always amazed that what a lot of people find interesting is actually a bit of neuroscience. So we have two museums side by side. One is the Love Museum, and then we have the Dark Side of Love, which is called Crimes of Passion, right next door. And what everybody always tells me is so interesting about the science in that is that we talk about emotional hijacking, and that the research shows that it takes 18 minutes once you've kind of lost your emotional control to calm down. And I think if you were to ask me, Amy, if you could tell us anything about neuroscience and love, what would you tell us? I would say that fact right there. I think just by teaching people, like, hey, when someone gets upset, it's much better to just give them their space to calm down.
What do you think the state of love is in the year 2023? You know, with the pandemic easing, hopefully, but after being and having gone through all of that, how are we now at love?
Well, personally, I think the brain is wired for love. Helen Fisher says that love is like located in the portion of the brain that's more like hunger. Love is a hunger that we need love so much. But I think that the pandemic has kind of eroded away a lot of our social skills, a lot of our reaching out to others, that I feel like we've become more, you know, trapped inside. And I think it's difficult to meet people. We've faded that ability a little bit, but I have faith that it's all going to keep coming back. I will tell you that I would say 65% of the couples that come into the museum have met online.
And how do you, and that metric, you know, because what you ask folks when they come to the museum?
Yeah. So the first question that we ask is so how did you meet?
Having all the information, Amy, that you have, and what you've seen over there, and the people you've interacted with at the museum, if somebody's listening to this right now on Valentine's Day, and love is not a part of their life, at least with a significant other or partner, what advice would you have for them?
I would tell them that when you go talk to people, that most people, they just want someone who gets them. So instead of focusing on yourself and like, oh, what are they thinking of me? I would tell them, just go out and do things that you love. And then when you interact with people that are doing things that you actually love, just try to make them feel great. That's all that it comes down to, is making another person feel great and doing things that you like to do together. And I think that's what makes a good relationship.
I'm writing all this down, by the way, Amy.
Okay.
Amy Sweetman, the founder of the Love Museum in Hollywood, also a professor in the psychology department over at LA City College. Amy, happy Valentine's Day to you. Thank you so much for coming on and talking to us.
Okay, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, and I love your voice.
Ooh, that's going to do it for us today. Hope you loved the episode. Tomorrow, lead smelter in the City of Industries polluting the neighborhood. Why do the most pollution-riddled plants wind up in neighborhoods with the most vulnerable and marginalized people? Why not a smelter plant in Beverly Hills or Malibu? That's tomorrow on this program. Share your thoughts with us. Maybe even share a story. Grab the podcast anytime at kcrw.com/GLA or get the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Juliana Mayo, Nihar Patel, Sonia Geis, Phil Richards, Michael Stark, Amy Ta, Carlos Ramirez, Mike Vogel, and Christian Bordahl all helped assemble this evening's episode. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thank you for your ear and, of course, your love. Have a great night.